Thank you for downloading this podcast from Awakening Church.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So I was taking my wife's lead. You know, she was asking, Lord, I want to go shopping. So yesterday I drove by 62 acres. And I said, Jesus, can I have that, please? Hey, I'm believing for it. I promise to give y'all some harvest from the land. Amen. This time the kids can be released to Children's Church to go with Papa. Go have a birthday party. Amen. So good to see you guys. So glad all of the young guys, our youth group, made it back in one piece. They were camping this week at Otter Creek, had a good time, had a great time. And so we're so thankful that they're here. So glad you're here. Hey, listen, let me just mention this about the alarm Travis mentioned about. We need your help. We do definitely need your help. So if you would see us and say, hey, what can I do? That would be awesome because we have plenty for you to do. Again, we're going to have a ton of guests here. And so it's necessary that we host them well and as well as the presence of the Lord. I'm stoked about this opportunity that we have just to continue to bring different voices into this region who are in the middle of revival. And that's what's going on. And so we're so thankful for that. And it's always good to see my friend Michael Gannon here. Love you, bro. This guy is he's a revival maniac just like I am. And I love it every time he's here. And just so thankful for what God's doing. I'm really, really not going to preach long today. I'm really not going to. really, because I don't have that much to say. The Lord, that's just the truth. The Lord shared something with me earlier this week, and it was very cut and dry. And I kept saying, okay, God, but I need 45 minutes to an hour for you to build around that. What are you talking about? And he's like, if you'll get this right, then everything else will take care of itself. And I was like, okay, all right. So let's go to Matthew chapter 11. Oh, my goodness, and I hope I'm okay in saying this. We also want to celebrate. I know Victoria is not here today, but next week, Victoria Barnett and Arnold Staten are getting married, and we're so excited about that. We love you guys. We are so thankful that she was able to convince Arnold to come to Louisville. I don't know that he understands the amount of prayer and fasting that went into that, not just from Keith and Pam, but from all of us saying we want them back here. And so they're here, and we love you guys, and we honor you, and we know that you're going to have a fruitful marriage and that it is going to be blessed beyond compare, and that God is going to use you and your marriage, you and Victoria both, to do great exploits for the kingdom, because I know that's your heart. And so I'm so excited to watch that unfold. Amen. Matthew chapter 11. For those of you that are that have been around us very long, this is a very familiar passage of Scripture, because we believe that we are forerunners operating in the spirit and manifestation of the spirit of Elijah and John the Baptist as well. And so this may be very familiar to you, but I just want to share with you what the Lord shared with me. And again, it's very simple, yet profound. So I'm going to start at verse 12 and go all the way through 19. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. Now, he's talking about John the Baptist operating in the spirit of Elijah right there. But notice he said, if you're able to see it. Not if you're able to see him. If you're able to see it. Damon Thompson taught us a long time ago, we get real caught up looking for the who, and we miss the it that the Holy Spirit's wanting to say, because we get so enamored with the who and who's bringing it. So that's very, very important for us to catch there. Verse 15, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. You understand that when Jesus says that, he's letting everyone know that is in his hearing, that there are people here who have an opportunity to hear, but they will not. Every time you see Jesus say that, he's letting people know there's an opportunity for you to miss this, but you better catch it. I want to tell you today with what I'm going to say today, if you have ears to hear, hear. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Verse 16, but to what shall I liken this generation? It's like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to their companions and saying, we played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We mourned to you, and you did not lament. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a winebibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is justified by her children. I want to read verse 12 again. In the days of John the Baptist, until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. I have set my life in pursuit of the fullest manifestation of God available. We often term that revival, to be revived or renewed. There are people who do not even like the word revival. And there have been times where I've said, you know, why would we revive something that's never really been dead? Because honestly, the church of God, the church of Jesus Christ, has always had a remnant at some point. But we understand that there have been ebbs and flows in that. And so we call it revival. And that's what we have set our hearts to pursue. That's what Awakening Church was birthed on. Prayer, revival, going after the presence of God, and it is necessary. And one of my favorite writers, Leonard Ravenhill, he's another one of these guys like A.W. Tozer. Don't read Leonard Ravenhill if you're not ready to just have it put right in your face, okay? That Leonard Ravenhill is probably a little bit more coarse than even A.W. Tozer, and those two were friends, and that's like the dynamic duo right there. But Leonard Ravenhill, he said this. He said, the only reason we don't have revival is because we are willing to live without it. The only reason we don't have revival is because we are willing to live without it. And I believe that this is true of most Christians today, that we have become so content with form and function and what we call church, but we are missing the power necessary for real transformation. And the reason we're missing it is because of the price that it cost. I believe that with all of my heart. I believe that that is the day in which we live. Weak, passive, anemic Christianity has and is silencing the voice of the church in this world. It is. We have raised in the body of Christ, specifically in the church in America, we have raised weak, anemic, passive Christians who allow things to happen over and over again, first of all because of the price, and second of all because we spend a whole lot of time trying to fit in. And in this discourse, Jesus is validating the ministry of John the Baptist in the midst of perceived doubt. If you read the verses preceding these scriptures here that I read, John actually sends disciples and says, ask Jesus, is he the one? I have conflicting theories on that, and I'm not going to go real deep into that. John was in prison, and some people say he was at a weak point, and he was wondering, is this really the guy? But I have a problem believing that a man who was willing to completely turn his back on the religious system of that day, live in a wilderness, eating locusts and wild honey, dressed in camel's hair, telling people to repent, I seriously have a doubt that that same guy who looked at Jesus and said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, baptizes him, sees the Holy Spirit descend on him like a dove, hears a voice from heaven that says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. I really have a problem thinking that John was seriously doubting right then. I believe he was sending his disciples who were questioning and saying, go see for yourself. And Jesus said, he said, go tell him what you see, that the blind eyes are opened and that the dead are raised. And so we're in this discourse, and Jesus hearing this and people being around, he's validating the ministry of John the Baptist because of the fickle nature of the people of that time. And I'm going to unfold that for you in just a moment. These people were extremely fickle, and Jesus calls them out. Fickle inconsistency is a huge issue right now. We hit this a couple of weeks ago. Y'all remember that on Thursday night. We were in prayer, and we hit inconsistency because I sensed it trying to creep itself up in here. And I was having a conversation with Rebecca yesterday, and I told her, I said, you know, I said, I do not want to go to church tomorrow and it just be normal church. I don't want to do it. Quite frankly, I have so many other things that I could be doing if the Holy Spirit's not going to show up. If he's not going to come like he did today and sweep in with his love and his power and wreck us with the idea that above everything else that he loves us, I have no desire to come together all of the time and spend the better part of my life pursuing that if he's not going to show up. But I have found out that if I will pay the price and I am consistent in my pursuit with him, he always shows up and exceeds what I even thought he could do. Now, fickle inconsistency has become an issue right now. And here's why. Are you ready? Because we have crowned our emotions as the head of our body instead of the Holy Spirit. We have crowned our emotions as the leader or the head, and it pushes us in our day-to-day life. It pushes us in our relationships with our spouses and our children. It pushes us in our relationship with God because we said how I feel is more important than what Holy Spirit says. The ebb and the flow of our emotion dictates the level of buy-in to the things of the Spirit. The ebb and flow of your emotional state and where you are on a day-to-day place affects the buy-in level you have with the Holy Spirit. What I want you to understand is that what Jesus is trying to get across here is that a passive, weak attempt at kingdom advancement is futile. It's futile. Do you remember, I've taught you this over and over again because it's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, Psalm 78, when the Bible says that the children of Israel grieved God because they did not remember his mighty works and how he brought them out of Israel, or out of Egypt, rather. And he goes on to say that because they continually did not believe and because they continually went back and forth, that he caused their days to be consumed with futility. And every time I read that or think about it, I see a picture of the American church because we have crowned the emotional response. We have crowned whether or not we can get more people in our building than you can. We have crowned entertainment and said, you know what? I need you to sing in this key and I need it to be this tempo because if it's this tempo, they'll respond. And if it sounds like this, then it's going to happen. We have crowned the emotional idea and made it dominant above the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is trying to tell the people right here that passive, weak attempts at kingdom advancement are futile. And I refuse to let my days be spent and consumed in futility. I refuse. I am way too driven for that to happen. You don't understand. When I go on a trip, even if we have no agenda, the mere fact that we're in the car and there is a destination now tells me that there's an agenda and I've got to get there. And if it's a 5-hour trip, I need to make it in 3 hours and 59 minutes. All my family said amen. Rebecca's like, there is no agenda. What are you doing? We said we were going somewhere. We've got to get there. I don't care what we do when we get there, but we've got to get there. So I refuse to let my days be spent or consumed in futility. And I want to run with people who refuse to let their days be spent and consumed in futility. I want to run with people who are not up and down based on how they feel that day when they get out of bed. Watch this. This scripture here in verse 12, it could literally be translated this way. It literally could be translated this way. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, violence taken by force. It could be translated this way. That the kingdom of heaven creates an opportunity for force, and forceful men seize the opportunity. The kingdom of heaven creates an opportunity for force, and forceful men seize the opportunity. Here's what the Lord spoke to me this week. There is an opportunity for us to seize or lay hold of the thing that we've been asking for. I told you, it's not real deep. I really am almost done. But there is an opportunity for us to lay hold of and grab the thing that we've been asking for. Why would God send a word like that that seems so simplistic? Can I help you? Because we're not laying hold of and seizing what it is that God has made available for us. I believe fully with every fiber of my being that right now, revival and the third great awakening are here. I believe it with every fiber of my being. And we have a responsibility to lay hold of it. We have a responsibility to grab it. What are you saying? The healing that you need was already provided on the cross. We have a responsibility to lay hold of it. The deliverance that you need was paid for by the precious blood of Jesus. And like the Moravians say, I want to see the Lamb receive the reward of his suffering. I want him to receive everything that he paid for. And we sit back passive and say, well, this is just life. I really did catch myself right there. I almost said something, what that is, right there. Thank you, Jesus, for helping me. Day after day, we watch it go by. Those that know me know I'm telling the truth, too. We watch it go by because we have accepted, watch this, I'm helping us today. We have accepted the lie of the enemy that we just have to take everything that's been thrown at us. Just got to take it. We just have to take it. Can I tell you how we really learned about healing in my house? Let me tell you how I really learned about healing in my house. I ran out of insurance. Y'all gonna get that in just a minute. About 2006, I was pastoring a little church and they couldn't afford to pay me enough to pay for insurance, and so we didn't have it. And so I decided, you know what? I'm not gonna take fever in my children, and I'm not gonna take ear infections one after the other, because that's just what happens in the wintertime. And there were many nights, you can ask my kids, there were many nights that they came and said, Dad, I'm hurting, my ear's hurting, they were crying or whatever. And we would rebuke fever and rebuke ear infections over and over again, because I decided I don't have to take this anymore. He's already paid for something. He's already paid with the blood of his stripes to heal me and my family, and I don't have to take it anymore. And we sat back as a weak, passive church and say, you know what? It's just going to happen that way, and it's just life, and abortion is going to continue because of the world we live in. No, he sent us to the intent that the church would make known the manifold wisdom of God to the principalities and powers and rulers of wickedness in high places. It is our job not to sit back and take it, but to do something about it, because we have the ability to change it if we'll lay hold of it. If we'll take it. If we will reach out and take it. Watch this. Here's why we struggle. Here's why we struggle to take it. Jesus says in verse 16 and 19 through 19, he said, how can I liken this generation? He said, what are you like? You're like little children, first of all. You're like children calling to your classmates. We played the flute for you, but you wouldn't dance. So then we mourned for you, but you did not lament. It didn't affect you. In other words, Jesus says that we did this and that and it didn't move you. It really just made you more critical. Because look what he says. John came, neither eating or drinking. You said he has a demon. The Son of Man came, eating and drinking, and you said he's a glutton and a winebibber. So what Jesus is saying is, we gave you every opportunity to respond to truth. We gave you every opportunity to lay hold and grab truth. But instead of grabbing hold of truth, you sat back and it really just made you more critical. Watch this. Because the farther out of reach you get from the thing you're looking for, the more critical you become about it. Oh, yeah. the farther you get away from the thing that you are reaching for, it rises up in you and you become more critical of it. Some people can't be used in the ministry they're longing for because they've become so critical of the way that others are doing it. And it's what we want, but we've been pushed so far away from it because we didn't respond or lay hold of truth that now, oh, I didn't even like that anyway. I'm preaching right now. This is a beautiful black pulpit. It's sturdy. My goodness, I wish I had one of those. It's okay. I don't even like it. It doesn't look that big to me. It doesn't look that sturdy. This is how we respond. This is what we do. The farther we get out of reach for the thing that we're longing for, the more critical we become about it. And that's why churches can't have unity in the body, because we're constantly competing with each other because we think there's this great divide between us. Therefore, we can't get together because it's not even what we wanted in the first place. Well, I thought we wanted it, but I don't need that. And now I don't. And so God's looking to use people who can get rid of the critical spirit and lay hold of the truth that's before them. Understand that what Jesus is doing right here is challenging the softness of the status quo. He is challenging the softness of the status quo. I want to tell you today that your attempts to live a normal life are your attempts to live a boring life. Your attempt to just live a normal everyday life, just let me go to work over and over again. Let me serve Babylon as much as I can. Let me continue to go and just fuel the system and do this over and over again. And God, I'm going to give you Sunday and maybe Thursday, but probably not. I'm going to give you Sunday for sure, at least for an hour and a half, maybe. But let me continue. I will never, ever in my history of mankind be late to work, but you understand, right? And I'm going to continue to push in this, but I need to lay hold of this, but I keep getting further and further away from it. And then we wonder why God is not moving the way that we've asked him to move. And he said, why are you not seeking my face the way that I asked you to seek my face? And Jesus is challenging the softness of the status quo. Y'all going to block for me, right, when I get out of here? Y'all going to help me? In Jesus' name. The reason he is challenging the status quo is because there's an opportunity that's been created for force, and we just have to seize the opportunity. Look, they got quiet now. We still love you if you were late, whoever you are. We, as a matter of fact, we even adjusted service for you. And y'all come later, in Jesus' name. It's all good, though. Understand this. You have to understand what Jesus is saying. Y'all got to love me. You ain't got to like me, but you got to love me. I'm just playing. You know I love you. What I'm saying is there's an opportunity that's created for force. And when we see that opportunity in the secular realm, we grab it like we're rabid dogs, and we don't let go of it because it pushes us. And what I'm trying to tell you is the issues and the situations that you deal with, when you approach God with that same tenacity and that same persistence, he has no other option but to work on your behalf. He has no other option but to work on your behalf. And so what God is saying is that normal is boring. You understand, I've taught this before, you understand what vaccination is, right? Vaccination, if you go get a flu shot, they give you a little bit of the flu that will help you to fight the strain of the flu that comes to your body, right? So they've injected you with a little bit of the vaccination. And what the enemy has done is he has injected us with a vaccinated Christianity that fights the real deal. And so we pursue form and function and formality so much so that it has caused us to weaken ourselves. In Matthew chapter 10, the chapter just previous to what I said, Jesus says this. He said, I did not come to bring peace on earth. I came to bring a sword. That's what he said. It was the angels that said, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Jesus said, I came to bring a sword. Watch this. He said, and I came to bring division, between father and son, mother and daughter. And he said this, he said, even if you love your kids more than you love me, you're not worthy. And I read that and I said, hold up. We got to talk here now. But what he is saying is that it's division from the normal understanding of things that we have allowed to become dominant. Because if I love him the way that I'm supposed to and pursue him, I cannot love my family anymore or any more correctly than I can when I'm completely 100% sold out to what Jesus is doing and saying. Are you with me? Luke 16 is echoing this prophecy, and it says that it has been, that the kingdom of God has been preached and everyone is pressing into it. It once again indicates that there is action that requires. The word for today, the word for you today, is to just grab what it is you're longing for. Reach out and seize the thing that you're looking for. Seize it in prayer. Seize it in devotion. Seize it in consistency. If you fight inconsistency, do things on purpose to not allow you to be inconsistent. Absolutely. Do things on purpose to not allow you to be inconsistent. I had to do that with my golf swing. I could hit the ball a mile, but I would hit it and then it would go out and curve. And I kept walking further and further away from the fairway and my friends who were over here. So I had to make adjustments so that it would be consistent. And when I learned how to do that, it went further straight than it did going sideways because the consistency paid off. Yeah. And so we have to press in. There are four things I want to give you really quick. Ryan, you can get ready to come, man. Josh, come up here and help him. There are four things I want to give you that will characterize laying hold of something. Are you ready? First of all, an impassioned pursuit of prayer. I'm to the point right now that if you don't have a prayer life and you say, I'm just struggling and I'm working on it, I question your relationship. Seriously, because you're not going to have a relationship with your spouse and not talk to them. You're not going to have a relationship with your children and not talk to them. So God is calling us to have a prayer life, an impassioned pursuit of prayer. Is that okay? Number two, we've got to stop being afraid of confrontation with the demonic. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And much of the reason the church has backed up and not taken what we could have taken was because the enemy said, hey, I'm not going to let that go without a fight, because the devil never goes to war where there are no spoils. And we saw that and we said, oh, we don't know if we're ready for that. Let me tell you something. If you're going to lay hold of something, you've got to be willing to confront those things that are under your authority. That are under your authority. Number three, you have to begin to expect the miraculous. People say, I have issues with faith. No, you don't. You don't have issues with faith. You believe in something. You either believe it's not going to happen or you believe it's going to happen, one or the other. You do not have a faith issue. You have misplaced faith. Misplaced faith. And so we have got to begin to expect the miraculous. We have got to begin to expect, when we pray for things, that they actually do happen. Imagine that. Jesus said, if you ask, you shall receive. If you seek, you shall find. People say, I'm trying to find myself. It's because you're looking in the wrong place. If you find him, you'll find yourself, because you were created in his image. Expect the miraculous. Number four, this is a word to the church. We've got to get this. This is a word to Ryan Bain right now. If it's for nobody else, it's for Ryan Bain. We have to have a burning passion for evangelism. We have to have a burning passion for evangelism. Not hiding behind pulpits any longer. Not hiding behind callings and saying, I'm this, that, and the other. We have to have a burning passion to let people know that Jesus Christ is the greatest thing that has ever happened to this world, and you can know him and have a relationship for him. In the context of night and day worship, you've heard me say this 1,000 times, in the context of the worship and hosting the presence of God the way that we want to, there is a harvest that is connected to that. But God will not take you into a place of harvest until you're ready to reap it. He will not do it. He will not do it. And that's why I'm to this place now. You know, we had the 90 days and there was such expectation. And that Sunday after the 90 days, it was phenomenal. And the power of the Holy Spirit was in here. But I feel like as a body, we have collectively just said, what now? But we've said, what now? And we've put our hands down. I don't preach these things because it makes us all warm and fuzzy inside. I preach them because God has given me a call to push us into greater depths and not be satisfied with the fact that he did something a month ago or 2 months ago, but to actually live in the continuous flow that he spoke to us about at the beginning of the year. We have to do those things. Stop trying to fit in where you were supposed to take over. Stop trying to fit in where you were supposed to take over. You were created for that. Listen, I could really mess with some of you all today. I think I will. Do you understand that you were never created to pursue things? You were created to manage things. That's how the kingdom works. I can take you to Genesis and show it to you. That Adam lost that, and because of that, we have been on a pursuit chasing our tails since. But God said everything that we lost in Adam, we gained in Christ. But we spend our time in futility pushing and pursuing after things that we think are going to make us happy. Stop trying to fit in where you were supposed to take over. The time of the chameleon Christian has passed. The time of the chameleon Christian has passed. I'm not trying to fade into the background. Why? Because an opportunity for force has been created. And I want to seize the opportunity. Last scripture, Colossians chapter 2. You say, do we have an example? Yes, we do. Colossians chapter 2. Jesus, by force, seized the opportunity that he was created for. Verse 13, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Watch this. Having wiped out the handwriting of the requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. Oh my God. It was the thing that was on us was contrary to us. Do you get that? Even the thing that we were in, and yes, we messed up and we did it, even that thing, it was contrary to us. It wasn't supposed to be on us. Whew. Having wiped away the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and has taken it out of the way by nailing it to the cross. Come on. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. What are you saying? There was an opportunity for force that was created with the birth of the spotless lamb. And he spent 33 years preparing himself to seize the opportunity that had been created. And when he did, he nailed the handwriting of requirements that I could not attain anyway, that I had no ability to fulfill anyway, and he nailed it to the cross. And when he did, he made a public spectacle of the principalities and powers of darkness triumphing over them. Let's make it personal. He made a public spectacle of poverty. He made a public spectacle of cancer. He made a public spectacle of abortion. He made a public spectacle of homosexual agendas. He made a public spectacle of drug addiction. He made a public spectacle of broken relationships. And he said,
seize the opportunity. He's asking us today, will you seize the opportunity that's been created for you? Revival is here. Your family is going to be saved. They're going to be rescued. It's available.
Thank you for joining us for this week's podcast from Awakening Church. You can find us at 1725 Research Drive in Louisville, Kentucky, or online at awakeningky.com.